I'm Miles.
I'm Santos.
This is how it's done in Orange County.
And welcome to Fresh Squeezed.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a bonus episode of Fresh Squeezed. I am your host, Maya Angelou. A little bit different today. We don't have any Miles. What we have is a really rad opportunity that I was presented with over this past weekend. I was invited by the 1888 Center and the Segerstrom Center for the Arts to participate in this really rad event that they had going on, where storytellers just came from all walks of life and shared different stories on kindness. And I did a piece that we're going to share with you all today. So live from the TED stage, here's Santos Tovar. What is kindness? That's easy, right? It's being nice to others. It's treating others with respect. It's showing empathy to others' strifes and their shortcomings. It's holding the door open for the person behind you and buying 18 boxes of Girl Scout cookies from that lady in your office that just always seems to be selling something for her kids. It's not that hard of a concept to comprehend, right? We'd all sure like to think so. Until we turn on the TV, or pick up a newspaper, or turn up the volume on NPR. Then we're all reminded that kindness, it's something that we so desperately need right now. When I sat down and put pen to paper, I had all these ideas of what I wanted to talk about. About all the ways to be kind to others, about stories of kindness that melted my heart, of personal actions I've done that would convince you all I'm some sort of real saint. I began reading articles and racking my brain and or Google to come up with something that would potentially make at least one person cry. But none of that felt right to me. None of it was something I truly wanted to shine my light on. Then, after much thinking and consideration, something finally came to me. And I thought, ooh, let's be controversial. We all spend so much time teaching our children and practicing being kind to others because, well, it's important. We're reminded that it's important to mind others' feelings and always be polite and put others' feelings before your own so that you will leave a good impression. And don't get me wrong, that is important. I'm not a monster. We don't want to live in a world full of careless people. But what I want to know is, why is it so rare to talk about and take actions toward being kind to yourself? Why is the concept of self-care and self-kindness so taboo? We get this feeling of guilt when we consider doing something for ourselves because we think it may come across as being selfish. But being kind to yourself only seems selfish because we've been conditioned to think so. We're taught our whole lives to mind others before we even consider ourselves. We're taught that only crazy people seek therapy, only cowards seek help, and that simple pleasures such as a massage are only for the elite. We're told that sick days should only be used when you're on the verge of death itself, but not for the days when the grief over your grandfather's death is so overcoming that you can't seem to get yourself out of bed. We're all constantly being told to smile. Be polite, say yes, be available, don't talk back, don't say that, don't do that, don't go there, don't bring that up. There are so many rules. There are so many don'ts. It's no wonder so many people around the world are so angry. What we have to learn is that it is totally okay to step back and take ourselves into consideration. And hey, sometimes that may be a little selfish, but that's okay. After all, we spend all day giving ourselves up to others. Consider that idea. You spend all day interacting with others and investing your energy into your friends, your family, and for a lot of us, our energy is often most invested into strangers. People that you have literally never met before, but who you are trying your hardest to make sure are satisfied by your presence. So, what made me choose this approach as opposed to any other? I can honestly say I was never kind to myself. In fact, I can admit that I used to hate myself. I could not stand the sight of me. I couldn't bear to hear me speak. I was disgusted by my choices. I literally hated waking up every day and dealing with the realization that I was me. And I'm not talking about that simple kind of hate, like when you go into South Coast Plaza and accidentally wind up lost in Crystal Court looking for a restroom. I'm talking about legitimate hatred, like the way we all felt about the evil King Joffrey the first four seasons of Game of Thrones. The only time I felt even slightly okay about being me was when I was giving myself to others. Putting others before myself. Investing my time into others and forgetting all about me and making sure that everyone around me was happy. And people loved me for it. People love being treated kindly. Why wouldn't they? I made this reputation of being the nice guy that everyone loved. I was that friend. The one that you could turn to when you get dumped. The one that you could turn to when you had a terrible day at work. The one that you could turn to when everything seems to be going wrong. I was the guy that you could unload your feelings onto and know that by the end of our interaction, all would be a little bit better and you would walk away with a smile on your face. Now, don't get me wrong, it was great. However terrible I felt, I can always count on other people to bring me up and let me know that I wasn't as bad as I thought myself to be. But they saw this made-up version of me. And to be honest, on the inside, I felt so empty. Outwardly, I had people telling me about how great I was, about how I made them feel, and that I was such a sweet person. But inwardly, I was still up to the same old self-loathing that I had become accustomed to. And can I just say, the voices on the inside, they aren't nice. No one knows you better than you know yourself, so you know all the buttons to press to really hit hard and really cause some pain. Eventually, after years of this toxic coping method, I hit a wall. A wall that was drenched in resentment. Resentment toward myself for not taking any actions to better my situation, and resentment toward others because they all got to interact with a version of me that I really wished I was. What ended up happening was I became a hermit of a human. I began to shut myself out from the world. I had no more energy to put up this facade. I convinced myself that it was because simply being kind to others was exhausting, but that couldn't be true. People do it all the time. Look at Ellen DeGeneres. She built a career out of it, and she looks fantastic doing it. What was exhausting me was the internal battle that I was having with myself all the time. The internal beratement. The lack of kindness that I should have had for myself. It could be exhausting being mean to yourself. I had officially reached my wit's end. I was feeling overwhelmed and constantly consumed by anxiety. I had become a recluse and was so dark and angry on the inside that it started to show on the outside. I was mean, I was ugly, I was rude, because for once, I wanted people to treat me the way that I treated me. And no one wanted to be around me. And quite honestly, I couldn't blame them. It all came to a peak one day in particular that I will never forget. I was having one of those bad days where you have nothing but hate to spew. One of those days where no matter what anyone says, you want to be nasty, just for the sake of having them feel a quarter as bad as you do. Why was my day bad? I don't remember. But what I do remember is my mom consoling me over the telephone trying to talk me off of an emotional cliff. Now, let me break here and tell you all that I am the definition of a mama's boy. My mother made me who I am today, and I hold her to the highest regard, and I do everything in my power to make her proud. But on this day, I just wasn't me anymore. I was an empty shell of myself that had no regard for anyone. My mom was doing everything in her power to remind me that everything would be okay and that I just needed to breathe. But I wasn't having it, and I did what I never in my life wanted to do. I broke my mother's heart and broke her down to tears. Hearing my mom crying over the telephone and knowing that it was all my fault was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. Hearing the pain in her voice is something that I will remember always. It was right in that moment that I knew things had to change. I hit my version of rock bottom, I reached that wall, and I drove straight into it. I made some bad choices, I had given up on myself, and so finally I did the unthinkable. I sought out help. We're so quick to offer help, but so hesitant when it comes to asking for it. So quick to look at someone else and ask, "How are you?" but never comfortable with asking, "How am I?" So I did it. I found help. Help in the form of a professionally licensed therapist. Now, if you walk away from today with anything at all, walk away with this self-proven fact. Therapy is a lifesaver. Let me be one to admit, it's not easy finding a total stranger to pour your feelings out onto. It's scary. It's intimidating. It's a level of vulnerability that we're all conditioned to never be comfortable with. And at first, I hated every second of it. At first, all the expected thoughts came to mind. I thought my therapist was judging me. I was convinced they thought I was full of it. I thought this person is only listening to me because I'm paying them to. It was an awkward situation. Who wants to just open up in a room with a stranger? And at first, the more you talk, the more awkward it feels. Things that I had buried deep into my own emotional sarcophagus were being unearthed for the first time. And no matter how many times you say something to yourself, it weighs so much more when you finally hear the words being said aloud. And on top of that, having that third party take your thoughts and put them into perspective for you, it's hard. There was a lot of denial, a lot of anger, a lot of me thinking, well, what do you know? You don't know me. Defense mode is real, and I was absolutely in it. I was ready to just quit and run away because it was the easy thing to do. And it's what my thoughts kept telling me to do. But what I realized is those same thoughts that were convincing me I was wasting my time and that I should just quit, those were the same voices filling my head with negative thoughts and convincing me that I was absolutely worthless. Those were the same thoughts that brought tears to my mother's eyes. So, I stuck it out, because I thought absolutely anything is better than my current state. It's now been about 2 years since I started therapy, and I can honestly say, I am so glad I chose to keep it up. I have learned so much about myself and the benefits of self-care. The biggest thing that I've taken from therapy is the idea of self-ness, or the concept that I exist. I read a lot of books, I watch a lot of TV, and I indulge in a lot of movies. So, to put it in perspective, I saw myself as the unnecessary background character in someone else's story. That guy in the background in an episode of Friends just sipping his coffee? That was me. Like, I'm here, but I'm not at all needed. But through my choice to be kind to myself and seek help, I learned that that just wasn't true at all. And let's take a moment to not mix up selfness with being selfish. Selfness is knowing yourself enough to understand that first you have to care for yourself so you can care for others and show them the best version of you. Being selfish has no regard for others. Everything is done with the intent of personal gratification. To understand selfness, we must understand that in the grander scheme of things, we are important. And before you focus on the we, first you must focus on yourself. Understand that you are important. You, the individual, are important. And how exactly does one emphasize their importance? Well, it's a lot of effort, it's a lot of hard work, and it starts with you being kind to yourself. It starts with putting yourself first and understanding that in order to be kind to others, first you have to be kind to you. And being kind to yourself doesn't have to be ridiculously lavish. I mean, unless you want it to be. Start off small. I like to indulge in a good book. Take a break and people watch at a local coffee shop with my favorite drink in hand. Video chat one of my best friends that I haven't seen in months. Go to that concert in the desert that takes me away from the world. Self-care could be whatever you choose it to be. We carefully curate and mind what we say to others. We choose our words and we watch our steps. We constantly look for ways to be of service, but we are completely relentless with ourselves. Why is that? I was recently listening to a podcast, and I heard something that was so perfect for this talk. The quote went, "Every thought creates an action, which creates a consequence." That was said by the one and only Oprah, blessing to this world, Winfrey. Now, really resonate on that. Every thought creates an action, which creates a consequence. Today you all thought, I want to attend this event. Your action was that you made the effort to be here. Your consequence, here you are. It all starts with a thought, and that just goes to show that your thoughts are so powerful. Filling your head with negative thoughts, it's about as useful as filling your gas tank with salt water. Let's use me as an example. I thought I was worthless, and I reminded myself of that every second of every day. My actions turned into me treating myself as though I was worthless. My consequence, I was convinced I was worthless. You see how it all works together? Your internal thoughts, they become your external consequences, and whether those are good or bad are completely up to you and the way you choose to treat yourself. If you tell yourself you're not worthy of a day at the spa or worthy of that new car, then you'll never see it. If you're constantly berating yourself and making yourself miserable on the inside, eventually you will become miserable on the outside. And from that misery comes anger and negativity. And from that comes the birth of unkind people. It all starts with you and your own selfness. Okay, do me a solid. I want you to close your eyes. Now take a deep breath, like a really deep breath. Fill your lungs all the way up to the brim. Okay, now hold it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now slowly, to my count, exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, let it all out. Now open your eyes. When was the last time you let yourself just take a step back and take a deep breath? Odds are you can't remember. Now, when is the last time you allowed yourself the chance to do one thing that makes you happy? Can you even remember what makes you happy? I was so used to working and running around and running away from my problems that, and wasting time and doing things for others that I forgot I existed. I couldn't remember what brought me joy. I spent so long coddling this version of me that I forgot who I truly was. I spent so much time belittling myself and convincing myself that I deserved a life of misery that I forgot what my simple pleasures in life happened to be. I had to start all over and really get to know myself all over again. For me, joy is finding my center and appreciating my existence. It's being grateful for everything around me. I find joy in meditation. I find joy in yoga. I find joy in an entire pint of Ben & Jerry's. Yoga, because it reminds me that I'm capable of so much, and that with practice and patience, anything can be attained. Meditation, because the world is so loud. It's so hard to find your place within all the noise. By allowing myself the chance to quiet down and focus, I can recharge and see the light all around me, all over again. Ben & Jerry's, because, I mean, come on, have you tried the Tonight Dough? Have you ever taken a walk around the Orange Circle and just window shopped? Have you ever reached out to your friends and just thanked them for being in your life? Have you ever gone to a movie by yourself at your favorite movie theater with your favorite snack and just enjoyed the moment? Now, some people might think, you take the time to just sit there and breathe, you hippie, why not go and do something more productive for the greater good? But what I've come to realize is that in taking time to do these things for myself, I am contributing to the greater good. It's all a trickle effect. In taking the time to be kind to myself, I have rid my head of the negative thoughts. Where I used to see characteristics that could not be changed, I now see opportunities that I can choose to improve on. Where I once saw situations outside of my control, I now see situations easily resolved by the choice to approach with kindness. So, how can being kind to yourself translate into being kind to others, you might ask? A handful of years ago, I worked at a local mom-and-pop amusement park. It's located just north of here, up in Anaheim, right off the 5 freeway. I won't name any names, but I'm sure you catch my drift. There's a big castle. It's overrun by mice. One day, I had a guest. She rented an electric wheelchair, and it just so happened that the battery had died, and that put a bit of a damper on her day. Now, I didn't personally put the chair together, nor was I the person directly responsible for assessing the battery life of the machine, but in that moment, I was the person in front of her, and therefore, I was fully responsible not only for the situation at hand, but for the outcome of her day. So, I stood there. I stood there as she berated me. She called me names and told me things that I'm sure are illegal in a few countries. And I just stood there, and I just listened. This went on for a solid 5 minutes before we reached the boiling point of the interaction. She looked me square in the face. She told me I was trash. And she proceeded to hawk what at the moment sounded like the largest loogie the world has ever seen. She then followed that up by spitting it all over me. There was a delay in response where I just stood there in shock. Like, did that really just happen? But this is also where I slowed down to breathe. Nothing will change that event. It's happened. No matter how I react, nothing will reverse time and change anything that has already occurred. I could have reacted in a handful of ways. The most common and easiest way would have been to err on the side of defense, fight back, get loud, call security, make a mess out of it all, and resolve absolutely nothing. But in that moment, I thought it would be best to err on the side of kindness. In listening to her complaints, I noticed she wasn't mad at anything I did. She was angry because of the time she lost, that she could never get back. And I'm no wizard, so I can't reverse time, but I did what I could to make the situation a little bit better. And with an understanding smile and some passes that would allow her and her group to skip some lines, I made her day a little bit better. Papers that cost me nothing, but may as well have been solid gold in the hands of this woman and her family. Now, let's consider that trickle effect. I could have easily reacted out of anger, been angry and nasty, and gone about my day angry and nasty. But I chose to be kind. Kind to her, of course, but in effect, kind to myself. Because I chose the outcome of that situation. I chose how I wanted to live out the rest of my day, and how I forever wanted to remember that situation. Now, I'm not saying go and have someone spit on you so that you can measure how kind of a person you are, or go and spit on someone to see what it gets you. What I want to get across is that it all starts with you. How you see yourself and how you treat yourself will determine how you react in a tough situation and how you treat other people. Be kind to yourself and you'll be kind to others, which will lead to a kinder world. It's that easy. I don't know why more people don't do it. Now, let's put it into play. I gave you all a piece of paper. I want you to take that paper and write down one thing that makes you happy. Don't think too long, just write down the first thing that comes to mind. Now, take that thing and promise yourself that you will do it before next Saturday. Once you've done it, I want you to email me. My email is conveniently located on the same piece of paper, and tell me what that did for you. Today, I can confidently say that I do have love for myself. And with that, I have more compassion and more empathy for others. I take time to breathe and reassess. I say no when I don't want to do something, and yes, every time I can. I don't feel guilty taking a mental health day from life, and I reach out for help whenever I need it. I take myself into consideration, and I remind myself that I exist. I am kind to myself, I treat myself with respect, and in result, I am kinder and more respectful to others. It's so often that we hear treat others the way you want to be treated, but from now on, why don't you try and shift your thinking to treat yourself the way you want to treat others? See where that takes you. By choosing to be kind to myself, I felt a weight taken off of me. Interacting with others is no longer a chore. I'm no longer angry all the time and I don't dread waking up every morning. Being kind to yourself, it really sets the foundation for how you see the world and how you treat your interactions with others and yourself. Thank you all so much for investing your time in me and listening to me speak. If you want to hear more of me, I host a podcast. It's called Fresh Squeezed OC, and it's available wherever you might get your podcasts. And remember, be kind to yourself, because you are important.